Please pray with me. Holy and gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of being able to gather around your word spoken to us. We ask, God, that through the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, our hearts and our minds might be enlivened so that we might discern what you would teach to us this day. To this end, God, I ask that you would test these words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was first going off to seminary, a mentor figure within my life told me that when I got into town in Princeton, New Jersey, that I had better take a taxi cab to the seminary. And I told him, Bob, that's too much money. I'm not going to do that. And he said, here, I'm giving you $20. Take a taxi cab once you get off the train. It was a grueling day of travel, getting from California out to New Jersey. Planes were delayed. New Jersey transit is awful. And I was on the train dragging around these suitcases with me. And then you have to catch a second train, which I wasn't very clear on, at a place called Princeton Junction. And you get into town. And as I walked off the train, there happened to be a taxi cab right there. And mind you, I don't know if I ever saw another taxi cab in Princeton my entire time in the borough. There's a taxi cab right there, and I said, all right, I'm just going to humble my pride, and I'm going to do what Bob told me to do. And so I go up to the taxi cab with dragging these bags with me, all of my worldly possessions, and I say, I would like a ride to the seminary. And he looked at me, and he's like, are you sure? It's really close. Said, yes, I told somebody that I would take a taxi to the seminary when I got here. So he said, okay. He loaded up my bags. I got in the car, and he took off. Drove about a quarter of a mile, two blocks, and we were at the seminary where he let me out and took the money that I had to give him. Today we're wrapping up our series on prayer. And something that became very evident to me as I was preparing this week and praying this week about what it is that we were going to do, it was evident to me that I was not supposed to write down a sermon, that I was supposed to come and preach whatever it is that was on my heart. So I'm sorry that you're just going to get some ramblings today. Yeah. All right. Thus far throughout this series, we have considered quite a few things, beginning with the question, what is prayer itself? And I have been saying from that time that prayer is an encounter through which we become friends with God. And when I've said that, I've meant we are aligning our purposes with God. We are sharing God's passion and activity for the sake of the world. Then we went down the path of considering what role might ritual prayer play in teaching us and equipping us for being a people of prayer. We've considered what extemporaneous prayer might mean and how we need to balance that with listening, and perhaps that ought to become an expression of singing joyous praise to God from our hearts, rather than using it as an opportunity to always bring forward what we want from God. We've looked at intercessory prayer, a priestly ministry of demonstrating love for people beyond what we can physically give them with our lives. We've looked at the physicality of prayer and how the postures that we take or imagine that we take can open us up more fully to the life of God rather than the vague path of simply trying to be spiritual. We've looked at last week what it means to listen in prayer, entering into a place of receiving from the Lord, and perhaps even getting to a place where we can simply lovingly adore the Lord in our prayers without having to bring any words at all. And as I've thought about the path that this sermon series has taken, I'm left wondering, where is prayer leading us? Is prayer something that is simply relegated to our homes, praying in private? Or is it something that simply exists within the worship service? Is it something that we are doing on the day-to-day for ourselves, for God, for the sake of the world? But where is it leading? Does it stop with the words that we say, or a time of listening and contemplation? And so as I've thought through this, thought through what are the implications of encountering God in prayer so that we might become friends, I thought about this passage from Ephesians. Now, the beginning of Ephesians isn't so much an exploration of what prayer is or what prayer does, but the beginning of Ephesians is an extended prayer that Paul is offering for the sake of his family in the Ephesian church. Today we have several instances where he is pouring his heart out for what God might be doing for this small group of Christians in a city that was a cultural hub of the Roman Empire. So Ephesians 3, which Cindy graciously read for us, focuses on the ministry that Paul has received from the Lord, one that is extolling the great mystery of God, that God's purposes are not solely at work within his ethnic people, the Jews, but rather that it is also reaching out to all of the people of the world. And because of this strange community that is being created by both Jew and Gentile alike, they are going to demonstrate to the powers that be the immeasurable riches of God expressed in the work of Christ. The people, as a community gathered together, are demonstrating a new humanity. One that is not divided by walls of hostility, such as ethnic markers or dietary restrictions or ideological correctness, but rather they are a community who is founded in Christ. They are living out Paul's ardent prayer for the church by demonstrating to people the incredible riches of God. The thing that strikes me as so unbelievably odd and audacious about what Paul is saying is that most house churches within the first century were probably 20, 30 people max, and those would be all of the Christians within a single city. At most, at absolute most, there might have been 10,000 Christians in the entire world at the time of Paul's writing this passage. And he is saying that this small, eclectic group of people, they represent God's plan for the world. They are God's victory within the world. What God has cobbled together out of Jews and Gentiles who have seen the incredible work of Christ permeating their communities, that they are the full riches of God. And these riches are not only meant to be hoarded within the community, but that they are meant to be put on display before the watching powers of the world. Now, what does this have to do with prayer? Prayer, this encountering God in friendship so that we are aligned with God's passion and action within the world, is a choice to demonstrate the riches of Christ. God's action for the world is the showering of blessing upon people. God is not looking to be miserly and to hoard the riches, and so neither are we. Prayer is leading us down the path of sharing those riches with all of the people that we meet, putting them on display, to consider the height and the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of God. What a marvelous thing for us to get a chance to consider. The life of prayer is the invitation to encounter those riches and to realize that God is inviting us to share them with others as well. And the only way that we can possibly do this is heeding that incredible word of John the Baptist in John 3:30. As his ministry has swept throughout Judea and people have come from all of the high places to come and to witness what it is that he is doing as they speak with one another, asking, could this man be the Messiah? At the height of his ministry, as his disciples come streaming to him and say, should we be concerned about this Jesus guy who seems to be drawing away attention from you? He says, no. He must increase and I must decrease. He must become greater and I must become less. The only way that we can share in the work of prayer, where it is leading and guiding us to partner with the passion and the action of God within the world, is if we are praying ardently those words of John, inviting for Christ to fill us, to increase within us, while lessening that within us which is less than human. That which is not truly us, but rather all of the different voices of the world, the voices swimming within our head that are telling us that we have to be great, that we are the ones who have to be strong. And yet Christ says it is the child who is the greatest within the kingdom of God. It is the little one who is humble and meek. The one who accepts Jesus with more faith than any of us can with our fancy educations and our overly eloquent words, maybe not this Sunday, but it is the little child who teaches us what friendship with God looks like, who allows for Christ to be great because the child is not afraid of being seen as small. I think about my time going to Princeton and how foolish I felt for spending $20 on a cab ride that lasted about a quarter of a mile. But there was something that I think that was really beneficial to me about starting my seminary experience in a place of humility, perhaps even humiliation. I came into there feeling destroyed by the trip out to New Jersey. It was exhausting. I was changing everything within my life. I didn't know a soul as I was heading out there. Now, I could have gone thinking, Eric, you're pretty great. Here you are going to seminary, responding to what God is leading you to do. You made it into Princeton, which I didn't learn until I got there is not the same thing as Princeton University. Not as good. I could have gone in feeling like hot stuff. But instead, I'm grateful for the fact that my journey began with realizing that it was not going to be by my own power that I could walk that path, but rather an acceptance of the fact that it was Christ who was going to have to make it work, otherwise it wasn't going to work at all. The path of prayer is not the complete abasement of us so that we see ourselves as a nothing, but rather where we see ourselves as an incredibly valued and beloved child of God, one who is included within the full riches of Christ because we have been entrusted with a wonderful gift of being meek, of being lowly, so that people might see the fullness of God within us. And so, my friends, be a people of prayer. Be a people who are following after the incredible riches of God, not by your own power and strength, but rather by the fullness of Christ filling you. Be a friend with our Lord, united in passion and action. Let's go in all meekness and humility so that Christ might increase within our world. Amen.